Blog Talk Radio.
All right, I would like to say good morning to each and every one of you. This is Pastor Mike Peavy with the Golgotha Church of Christ here in Chicago, Illinois. Had an exceptional day yesterday in the Lord. It's a privilege to be able to speak with the Far West Church of Christ family yesterday and had a grand time there, and then also we were on last night about 7 o'clock for worship. Had a double barrel yesterday. It was very awesome. I love the Lord. I love His Word. It just helps us to continue to stay focused. This is our protein shake. This is what builds us and strengthens us in our spiritual mindset. We are working in collaboration with Armed and Dangerous Ministries out of Des Moines, Iowa. And for the Good Morning Your Majesty program, this is our good morning. This is our Caffeine Shot for Christ morning prayer show. And we're also broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio for Fighting an Incarcerated Mind with the Incarnated Christ. So we want to say good morning to you in Norway. Or good morning on this end. It may be good afternoon or good evening there. I don't know what the time difference is. We want to say good morning to you or good day to you in Canada, i.e., right? And then we also would like to say good morning to those or to those in the United Kingdom that are listening. And so we just just excited. And those of you in the continental United States, and then again, good morning to all of you here in the continental United States, and those of you that are viewing by Facebook, whether it be in India or be here in the Chicagoland area, Iowa area, etc. Those in the Des Moines, Iowa area, I look forward to seeing you Sunday. I will be home, coming back home to spend some time with family and also be able to share God's word. So I'm looking forward to that next Sunday morning. At King of Kings Missionary Baptist Church, NBC, over at 619 Southeast 15th Street. Again, 619 Southeast 15th Street. Jordan Raybon is the minister there. And they had their 50 year anniversary yesterday. But I've been asked to come and share a word, and I'm looking forward to doing that, sharing the gospel with people that love the Lord. Amen. And nothing like being with people that love the Lord, true believers that love the Lord, and that love to hear God's word. So those of you in the Des Moines area or anywhere close to the vicinity, why don't you schedule your time to come and meet us next Sunday morning at 619 Southeast 15th Street, Des Moines, Iowa, 50317. I believe morning service is at 11 o'clock, and morning Bible study at 9:45 or 9 o'clock, something like that. But I will be the speaker at 11 o'clock, and I look forward to seeing you there. Amen. Now, we like to read the Bible, because it's important that we allow God to speak to us, to shape our week, shape our day, shape our hour, but get our mindset right before we become social with others, right? That's many times, that's why there's so much problem going on in the world today, based on the fact that we don't allow God to lead us, guide us, mold us, and counsel us. And so, before man talks to God, we're going to allow God to talk to man, amen, somebody. And then we will bring our petitions to the holy and divine God. We will start today in Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, 17 is where we left off on Friday, chapters 11 through 17. And so today we will start in Genesis 18, verse 1. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham in the oaks of Mamre, while he was sitting in the entrance of his tent during the heat of the day. He looked up, and he saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the entrance of the tent to meet them and bowed to the ground. Good morning, Almeda Murphy. How you doing, Mom? Hope things are well with you. We're in Genesis chapter 18, verse number 3. Then he said, "My Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, please do not go on past your servant. Let a little water be brought, that you may wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. I will bring a bit of bread so that you may strengthen yourselves. This is why you have passed your servant's way. Later, you can continue on." "Yes," they replied, "do as you have said." So Abraham hurried into the tent and said to Sarah, "Quick, knead three measures of fine flour and make bread." Good morning, Rabbi Bonwell. Good morning, Rose, Denise Southwood. Good to see you guys. If you could share the video, we'd definitely appreciate it. We're in Genesis chapter 18, verse number 6. So Abraham hurried into the tent and said to Sarah, "Quick, knead three measures of fine flour and make bread." Meanwhile, Abraham ran to the herd and got a tender, choice calf. He gave it to a young man who hurried to prepare it. Then Abraham took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set them before the men. He served them as they ate under the tree. Good morning, Kathy Gaines Cooper. Good to see you guys this morning. We're in Genesis chapter 18, verse 9. "Where is your wife, Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he answered. The Lord said, "I will certainly come back to you in about a year's time, and your wife Sarah will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent behind him. Abraham and Sarah were old and getting on in years. Sarah had passed the age of childbearing, so she laughed to herself, "After I have become shriveled up and my Lord is old, small of Abraham, will I have delight?" But the Lord asked Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Can I really have a baby when I'm old?' Is anything impossible for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will come back to you, and in about a year, she will have a son." Sarah denied it. "I did not laugh," she said, "because she was afraid." But he replied, "No, you did laugh." Verse 16. The men got up from there and looked out over Sodom, and Abraham was walking with them to see them off. Then the Lord said, "Should I hide what I am about to do from Abraham? Abraham is to become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will command his children and his house after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. This is how the Lord will fulfill to Abraham what he promised him." Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is immense, and their sin is extremely serious. I will go down to see if what they have done justifies the cry that has come up to me." If not, I will find out. The men turned from there and went towards Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Abraham stepped forward and said, "Will you finally sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What of the righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away instead of sparing the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people who are in it? You could not possibly do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. You could not possibly do that. Won't the judge of all the earth do what is just?" The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Then Abraham answered, "Since I have ventured to speak to you, Lord, even though I am dust and ashes, suppose the 50 righteous lack 5. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? He replied, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Then he spoke to him again, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it on account of 40. Then he said, "Let the Lord not be angry, and I will speak further. Suppose 30 are found there." Then he said, "Since I have ventured," Lee answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." Verse 31, then he said, "Since I have ventured to speak to the Lord, suppose 20 are found there." He replied, "I will not do it on account of 20. Then he said, "Let the Lord not be angry, and I will speak one more time. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "I will not destroy it on account of 10. When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he departed, and Abraham returned to his place. Out of all that territory, only 10 righteous people had to be there, and that would spare the entire destruction that was about to take place. God looks out for the minimal. The minimum looks out for the maximum. Chapter 19. The two angels entered Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting at Sodom's gate. When Lot saw them, he got up to meet them. He bowed with his face to the ground and said, "My lords, turn aside to your servant's house, wash your feet, and spend the night. Then you can get up early and go on your way." "No," they said, "we would rather spend the night in the square." But he urged them so strongly that they followed him and went into his house. He prepared a feast and baked unleavened bread for them, and they ate. Before they went to bed, the men of the city of Sodom, both young and old, the whole population surrounded the house. They called out to Lot and said, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Send them out to us so we can have sex with them." Lot went out to them at the entrance and shut the door behind him. He said, "Don't do this evil, my brothers." Somebody needs to hear that this morning. "Don't do this evil, my brothers. Look, I have got 2 daughters who haven't had sexual relations with a man. I'll bring them out to you, and you can do whatever you want to them. However, don't do anything to these men, because they have come under the protection of my roof." "Get out of the way," they said, adding, This one came here as a foreigner, but he's acting like a judge. Now we'll do more harm to him than to him. Now we'll do more harm to you than to them. They put pressure on Lot and came up to break down the door. But the angels reached out, brought Lot into the house with them, and shut the door. They struck the men who were at the entrance of the house, both young and old, with a blinding light so that they were unable to find the entrance. Then the angel said to Lot, "Do you have anyone else here, a son-in-law, your sons and daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of this place, for we are about to destroy this place because the outcry against this people is so great before the Lord that the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-laws who were going to marry his daughters. "Get up," he said, "get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city." But the sons-in-laws thought he was joking. At daybreak, the angels urged Lot on, "Get up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, and you will be swept away in the punishment of the city." But he hesitated. Because of the Lord's compassion for him, the men grabbed his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters. Then they brought them out and left them outside the city, just four. As soon as the angel got them out, one of them said, "Run for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere on the plain. Run to the mountains or you will be swept away." But Lot said to them, "No, my lords, please. Your servant has indeed found favor in your sight. And you have shown me great kindness by saving my life. But I can't run to the mountains. The disaster will overtake me, and I will die. Look, this town is close enough for me to run to. It is a small place. Please let me go there. It's only a small place, isn't it? So that I can survive." Good morning, Steve Crowder. Good to see you, Doc. We're in Genesis chapter 1. Verse 21. Hopefully I'll see you when I get home in Des Moines next Sunday. I'll be a King of Kings. And he said to them, "All right, I'll grant your request about this matter too. And we'll not demolish the town you mentioned. Hurry up. Run there, for I cannot do anything until you get there." The sun had risen over the land when Lot reached Zoar. Then out of the sky, the Lord rained burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord. He demolished these cities, the entire plain, all the inhabitants of the city, and whatever grew on the ground. Look at the devastation, folks. The sun had risen over the land when Lot reached Zoar. It was bright day. Then out of the sky, the sun rained burning sulfur. The Lord rained burning sulfur from Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord. He demolished these cities, the entire plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and whatever grew on the ground. Lord have mercy. But it came back and became a pillar of salt. Early in the morning, Abraham went to the place where he had stood before the Lord, and he looked down towards Sodom and Gomorrah and all the land of the plain, and he saw that smoke. smoke was going up from the land like smoke of a furnace. So it was when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham and brought Lot out of the middle of the upheaval when he demolished the cities where Lot had lived. Lot departed from Zoar and lived in the mountains along with his two daughters because he was afraid to live in Zoar. Instead, he and his two daughters lived in a cave. Then the firstborn said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is no man in the land to sleep with us, as is the custom of all the land. Let's come get our father to drink wine so that he can sleep, so that we can sleep with him and preserve our father's line." So they got their father to drink wine that night. And the firstborn came and slept with her father. He did not know when she lay down or when she got up. That must have been some kind of drunk. The next day, the firstborn said to the younger, "Look, I slept with my father last night. Let's get him to drink wine again tonight so that you can go sleep with him and we can preserve our father's line." That night, they again got their father to drink wine, and the younger went and slept with him. He did not know when she lay down or when she got up. So both of Lot's daughters became pregnant by their father. The firstborn gave birth to a son and named him Moab. He is the father of the Moabites of today. The younger gave birth to a son, and she named him Ben-Ami. He is the father of the Ammonites of today. From there, Abraham traveled to the region of the Negev and settled between Kadesh and Shur. While he lived in Gerar, Abraham said about his wife Sarah, "She is my sister." So Abimelech, king of Gerar, had Sarah brought to him. Here we go again. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "You are about to die because of the woman you have taken, for she is a married woman." Now Abimelech had not approached her, so he said, "Lord, would you destroy a nation even though it is innocent? Didn't he say to me, 'She is my sister'? And she herself said, 'He is my brother.' I did this with a clear conscience and clean hands." Then God said to him in a dream, "Yes, I know that you did this with a clean conscience. I have also kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I have not let you touch me. Now return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live." God does things a little differently, doesn't he? "But if you do not return her, know that you will certainly die, you and all who are yours." Early in the morning, Abimelech got up, called all his servants together, and personally told them all the things, and the men were terrified. Then Abimelech called Abraham in and said to him, "What have you done to us? How did I sin against you that you have brought such enormous guilt on me and on my kingdom? You have done things to me that should never have been done." Abimelech also said to Abraham, "What did you intend when you did this thing?" Abraham replied, "I thought there is absolutely no fear of God in this place. They will kill me because of my wife, because she really is my sister, the daughter of my father, though not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. So when God had me wander from my father's house, I said to her, 'Show your loyalty to me.' wherever we go and say about me, he's my brother. Then Abimelech took sheep and cattle and male and female slaves, gave them to Abraham, and returned his wife Sarah to him. Abimelech said, look, my land is before you. Settle wherever you want. And he said to Sarah, look, I am giving your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. It is a verification of your honor to all who are with you. You are fully vindicated. Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female slaves so that they could bear children. For the Lord had completely closed all the wombs of Abimelech's household on account of Sarah, Abraham's wife. The Lord came to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time God had told him. Abraham named his son who was born to him, the one Sarah bore to him, Isaac. When his son Isaac was 8 years old, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and everyone who hears will laugh with me. She also said, who would have told Abraham and Sarah, who would have told Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne a son for him in his old age. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham held a great feast on the day Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son mocking, the one Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham. So she said to Abraham, drive out this slave with her son, for the son of this slave will not be a co-heir with my son Isaac. Now this is a very difficult thing for Abraham because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not be concerned about the boy and your slave. Whatever Sarah says to you, listen to her, because your offspring will be traced through Isaac. But I will also make a nation the slave's son, because he is your offspring. Early in the morning, Abraham got up, took bread and a water skin, put them on Hagar's shoulders, and sent her and the boy away. She left and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water and the skin was gone, she left the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down nearby about a bow shot away, for she said, I can't bear to watch the boy die. So as she sat nearby, she wept loudly. God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what's wrong, Hagar? Don't be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy from the place where he is. Get up, help the boy up, and support him, and I will make him a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the water skin and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy, and he grew. He settled in the wilderness and became an archer. Good morning, cuz. Rosalind Thomas Green. Good to see you. I'll be home next weekend. Look forward to seeing you guys. God was with the boy, and he grew. He settled in the wilderness and became an archer. He settled in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Verse 22 in chapter 21 of Genesis. At that time, Abimelech accompanied by Phicol, the commander of his army, said to Abraham, God is with you in everything you do. Swear to me by God here and now that you will not break an agreement with me or with my children and descendants. As I have been loyal to you, so you will be loyal to me and to the country where you are a foreign resident. And Abraham said, I swear it. But Abraham complained to Abimelech because of the water well that Abimelech's servants had seized. Abimelech replied, I don't know who did this thing. You didn't report anything to me, so I hadn't heard about it until today. Abraham took sheep and cattle and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. Abraham separated 7 ewe lambs from the flock. And Abimelech said to Abraham, why have you separated these 7 ewe lambs? He replied, you are to accept the 7 ewe lambs from my hand so that this act will serve as my witness that I dug this well. Therefore, that place was called Beersheba because it was there that the two of them swore an oath. After that, they made a covenant at Beersheba. Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, left and returned to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there he called on the name of Yahweh, the everlasting God. And Abraham lived as a foreigner in the land of the Philistines for many days. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, here I am, he answered. Take your son, he said, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. So Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took with him 2 of his young men and his son Isaac. He split wood for a burnt offering and set out to go to the place God had told him about. On the 3rd day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there to worship. Then we'll come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. In his hand he took the fire and the sacrificial knife, and the two of them walked on together. Then Isaac spoke to his father Abraham and said, my father? And he replied, here I am, my son. Isaac said, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Then the two of them walked on together. When they arrived at the place that God had told them about, Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac and placed him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out and took a knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called at him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He replied, here I am. Then he said, do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, that you have not withheld your only son from me. Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the thicket by his thorns, by his horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham named that place, "The Lord will provide." So today it is said, it will be provided on the Lord's mountain. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, this is the Lord's declaration. Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your only son, I will indeed bless you and make your offering as numerous as the stars of the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your offspring will possess the gates of their enemies, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring because you have obeyed my command." Abraham went back to his young men, and they got up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham settled in Beersheba. Now, after these things, Abraham was told, "Milcah also has borne sons to your brother Nahor, as his firstborn, his brother Buz, Kemuel, the father of Aram, Kesed, Hazo, Pildash, Ziklag, and Bethuel. And Bethuel followed Rebekah. Milcah bore these eight to Nahor, Abraham's brother. His concubine, whose name was Ruhamah, also bore Timnah, Gaham, Tahash, and Maacah." Chapter 23. Now Sarah lived 127 years. These were all the years of her life. Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Then Abraham got up from beside his dead wife and spoke to the Hittites, "I am a foreign resident among you. Give me a burial site among you so that I can bury my dead." The Hittites replied to Abraham, "Listen to us, Lord. You are Abraham, you are God's chosen one among us. Bury your dead in our finest burial place. None of us will withhold from you his burial place for burying your dead." Then Abraham rose and bowed down to the Hittites, the people in the land. He said to them, "If you are willing for me to bury my dead, listen to me and ask Ephron, the son of Zohar, on my behalf, to give me the cave of Machpelah that belongs to him. And it is at the end of his field. Let him give it to me in your presence for the full price as a burial place." Good morning, Peggy Busby White. Good to see you today. If you guys could share the video, we definitely appreciate it. Verse 10 of chapter 23 of the book of Genesis, Genesis 23:10. Ephraim was sitting among the Hittites. So in the presence of all the Hittites who came to the gate of the city, Ephraim the Hittite answered Abraham, "No, my lord, listen to me. I give you the field, and I give you the cave that is in it. I give it to you in the presence of my people. Bury your dead." Abraham bowed down to the people in the land and said to Ephraim in the presence of the people of the land, "Please listen to me. Let me pay the price of the field. Accept it from me, and let me bury my dead there." Abraham wasn't going to accept a handout. Ephraim answered Abraham and said to him, My Lord, listen to me. Land worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that between you and me? Bury your dead. Abraham agreed with Ephron. And Abraham weighed out to Ephron the silver that he had agreed to in the presence of the Hittites, 400 shekels of silver at the current commercial rate. So Ephron's field at Machpelah near Mamre, the field with its cave and all the trees anywhere within the boundaries of the field, became Abraham's possession in the presence of all the Hittites who came to the gate of the city. After this, Abraham buried his wife Sarah in the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. The field with its cave passed from the Hittites to Abraham as a burial place. Chapter 24. Abraham was now old, getting on in years, and the Lord had blessed him in everything. Abraham said to his servant, the elder of his household who managed all he owned, place your hand under my thigh, and I will have you swear by the Lord, God of heaven and God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I live, but will go to the land and my will go to my land and my family and take a wife for my son Isaac. The servant said to him, suppose the woman is unwilling to follow me to this land, should I have your son go back to the land you came from? Abraham answered him, make sure that you don't take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from my native land, who spoke to me and swore to me, I will give this land to your offspring. He will send his angel before you, and you can take a wife for your son from there. If the woman is unwilling to follow you, then you are free from this oath to me. But don't let my son go back there. So the servant placed his hand under his master Abraham's thigh and swore an oath to him concerning this matter. The servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed with all kinds of his master's goods in hand. Then he set out for Nahor's town, Aram, near Naharaim. He made the camels kneel beside the well of the water outside the town at evening. This was a time when the women went out to draw water. Lord God of my master Abraham, he prayed, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. I am standing here at the spring where the daughters of the men of the town are coming to draw water. Let the girl to whom I say, please lower your water jug so that I may drink. And who responds, drink and I'll water your camels also. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this time I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Before he had finished speaking, there was Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor, coming with a jug on her shoulder. Now the girl was very beautiful, a young woman who had not known a man intimately. She went down to the spring, filled her jug, and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me have a little water from your jug. She replied, drink, my lord. She quickly lowered her jug to her hand and gave him a drink. When she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I'll also draw water for your camels until they have had enough to drink. She quickly emptied her jug into the trough and hurried to the well again to draw water. She drew water for all of his camels while the man silently watched her to see whether or not the Lord had his journey a success. It made his journey a success. After the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing half a shekel, and for her wrist, two bracelets weighing 10 shekels of gold. "Whose daughter are you?" he asked. "Please tell me, is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" She answered him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor." She also said to him, "We have plenty of straw and feed and a place to spend the night." Then the man bowed down, worshiped the Lord, and said, "Praise the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not withheld his kindness and faithfulness from my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives." The girl ran and told her mother's, The girl ran and told her mother's household about these things. Now Rebecca had a brother named Laban, and Laban ran out to the man at the spring. As soon as he had seen the ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrist, and when he had heard his sister Rebecca's words, the man said this to me. He went to the man. He was standing there by the camels at the spring. Laban said, "Come, you who are blessed by the Lord. Why are you standing out there? I have prepared the house and a place for the camels." So the man came to the house, and the camels were unloaded. Straw and feed were given to the camels, and water was brought to wash his feet and the feet of the men with him. A meal was set before him, but he said, "I will not eat until I have said what I have to say." So Laban said, "Please speak." "I am Abraham's servant," he said. "The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become rich. He has given him sheep and cattle, silver and gold, men and female slaves, and camels and donkeys. Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master in her old age, and he has given him everything he owns. My master put me under this oath. He will not take a wife for my son for the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I live, but will go to my father's household and to my family and take a wife for my son. But I said to my master, suppose the woman will not come back with me. He said, then either the Lord before whom I have walked will send his angel with you and make your journey a success. And you will take a wife for my son, from my family, and from my father's household. Then you will be free from my oath if you go to my family and they do not give her to you. You will be free from my oath. Today when I came to the spring, I prayed, Lord, God of my master Abraham, if only you will make my journey successful. I'm standing here at a spring. Let the virgin who comes out to draw water, and I say to her, please let me drink a little water from your jug. And who responds to me, drink, and I'll draw water for your camel also. Let her be the woman the Lord has appointed for my master's son. Before I had finished praying silently, there was Rebecca coming with her jug on her shoulder, and she went down to the spring and drew water. So I said to her, please let me have a drink. She quickly lowered her jug from her shoulder and said, drink, and I'll water your camels also. So I drank, and she watered the camels. Also watered the camels. Then I asked her, whose daughter are you? She responded, the daughter of Bethuel, son of Nahor, whom Milcah bore to him. So I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrist. Then I bowed down and worshiped the Lord and praised the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who guided me on my right way, who guided me on the right way to take the granddaughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you are going to show kindness and faithfulness to my master, tell me. If not, tell me, and I will go elsewhere. Laban and Bethuel answered, this is from the Lord. We have no choice in the matter. Rebecca is here in front of you. Take her and go, and let her be a wife to your master's sons, just as the Lord has spoken. When Abraham's servant heard their words, he bowed to the ground before the Lord. Then he brought out objects of silver and gold and garments and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious gifts to her brother and her mother. Then he and the men with him ate and drank and spent the night. Then they got up in the morning. He said, send me to my master. But her brother and mother said, let the girl stay with us for about 10 days. Then she can go. But he responded to them, do not delay me, since the Lord has made my journey a success. Send me away so that I may go to my master. So they said, let's call the girl and ask her opinion. They called Rebecca and said to her, will you go with this man? She replied, I will go. So they sent away their sister Rebecca with the one who had nursed and raised her, and Abraham's servant as his men and his men. They blessed Rebecca, saying to her, our sister, may you become thousands upon 10,000. May your offspring possess the gates of their enemies. Then Rebecca and her female servants got up, mounted the camels, and followed the man. So the servant took Rebecca and left. Now Isaac was returning from Beer Lehiyah, for he was living in the Negev region. In the early evening, Isaac went out to walk in the field, and looking up, he saw camels coming. Rebecca looked up, and when she saw Isaac, she got down from the camel and asked the servant, who is that man in the field coming to meet us? Blessings. Good morning, Mother. Good to see you. The servant answered, it is my master. So she took her veil and covered herself. Then the servant told Isaac everything he had done. And Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother, Sarah, and took Rebekah to be his wife. Isaac loved her, for he was comforted after his mother's death. Chapter 25. But Abraham had taken another wife, whose name was Keturah. And she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shuah. Jokshan fathered Sheba and Dedan. Dedan's sons were the Asherim, Letushim, and Dedan's sons were the Asherim, Letushim, and Leumim. And Midian's sons were Ephah, Epher, Hanap, Abida, and Eldaiah. All these were sons of Keturah. Abraham gave everything he owned to Isaac, and Abraham gave gifts to the sons of his concubines. But while he was still alive, he sent them eastward, away from his son Isaac, to the land of the east. This is the length of Abraham's life, 175 years. He took his last breath and died at a ripe old age, old and contented. He was gathered to his people. His sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah near Mamre, in the field of Ephron, son of Zohar the Hittites. This was the field that Abraham bought from the Hittites. Abraham was buried there with his wife, Sarah. After Abraham's death, God blessed his son Isaac, who lived near Beer Lahairah. These are the family records of Abraham's son Ishmael, whom Hagar, the Egyptian, Sarah's slave, bore to Abraham. These are the names of Ishmael's sons. Their names, according to the family records, are Nebaioth, Ishmael's firstborn, then Kedar, Abiel, Mibsam, Mishma, Duma, Masa, Hadad, Timur, Gitur, Nephesh, and Kedema. These are Ishmael's sons, and these are the names by their villages and encampments, 12 leaders of their clans. This is the length of Ishmael's life, 137 years. He took his last breath and died, and was gathered to his people, and they settled from Havilah to Shur, which is opposite Egypt as you go towards Asher. He lived in opposition to all his brothers. Verse 19, these are the family records of Isaac, of Abraham. Abraham fathered Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took as his wife Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean, from Padan Aram, and sister of Laban the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord heard his prayer, and his wife Rebekah conceived. But the children inside her struggled with each other. And she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, for the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two people will come from you and be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." When her time came to give birth, there were indeed twins in her womb. The first one came out red-looking, covered with hair like a fur coat. And they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out grasping Esau's heel with his hand. And he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when they were born. When the boys grew up, Esau became an expert hunter and outdoorsman, but Jacob was a quiet man who stayed at home. Good morning, Brother Ernest. Good to see you, Doc. Hope your weekend went wonderful. We're in Genesis 25, verses 1 through verse 28, Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for wild game. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Once, when Jacob was cooking a stew, Esau came in from the field exhausted. He said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stuff because I am exhausted." That is why he was also named Edom. Verse 31, Jacob replied, "First sell me your birthright." "Look," said Esau, "I'm about to die. What was good is a birthright to me." Anyway, he said, "Look," said Esau, "I'm about to die. So what good is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore to Jacob and sold his birthright to him. Then Jacob gave bread and lentil stew to Esau. He ate, drank, got up, and went away. So Esau despised his birthright. Just finished my workout and needed my daily dose of devotion. Thank you, my brother. Love you, bro. Keep pushing. We're pushing on this end. I'll be on my total jam in a minute. Chapter 26. There was another famine in the land in addition to the one that had occurred in Abraham's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, at Gerar. The Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land that I tell you about. Stay in this land as a foreigner, and I will be with you and bless you. For I will give all these lands to you and your offspring. And I will confirm the oath that I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky. I will give your offspring all these lands, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring. Because Abraham listened to my voice and kept my mandate, my commands, my statutes, and my instructions." Look at that. He listened to my voice, kept my mandate, kept my commands, kept my statutes, and kept my instructions. Abraham, yes. So Isaac settled in Gerar. Verse 7, when the men of the place asked about his wife, he said, "She is my sister." Here we go again. For he was afraid to say "my wife," thinking the men in the place will kill him on account of Rebekah. For she is a beautiful woman. When Isaac had been there for some time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked down from the window and was surprised to see Isaac caressing his wife, Rebekah. Abimelech sent for Isaac and said, "So she is really your wife. How could you say she is my sister?" Isaac answered him, "Because I thought I might die on account of her." Then Abimelech said, "What is this you've done to us? One of the people could easily have slept with your wife, and you could have brought guilt on us." So Abimelech warned all the people with these words, "Whoever harms this man or his wife will certainly die." Isaac sowed seed in the land, and in the year he reaped 100 times what was sown. In that same year, he reaped 100 times what was sown. The Lord blessed him. Amen. And the man became rich and kept getting richer until he was very wealthy. He had flocks of sheep, herds of cattle, and many slaves, as the Philistines were envious of him. The Philistines stopped up all the wells that his father's
slaves had dug in the land in the days of his father Abraham, filling them with dirt. And Abimelech said to Isaac, leave us, for you are much too powerful for us. So Isaac left there, camped in the valley of Gerar, and lived there. Isaac opened the water wells that had been dug in the days of his father Abraham, and that the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham's death, after Abraham died. Excuse me. He gave them the same names his father had given them. Then Isaac's slaves dug in the valley and found a well of spring water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen and said, the water is ours. So he named the well Quarrel because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well and quarreled over that one also. So he named it Hostility. First well, Quarrel. Second well, Hostility. He moved from there and dug another, and they did not quarrel over it. He named it Open Spaces. He said, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we will be fruitful in the land. From there he went up to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him that night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your offspring because of my servant Abraham. So he built an altar there, called on the name of Yahweh, and pitched his tent there. Isaac's slaves also dug a well there. Now Abimelech came to him from Gerar and Ahuzath, his advisor, and Philcar, the commander of his army. Isaac said to them, why have you come to me? You hated me and sent me away from you. They replied, we have clearly seen how the Lord has been with you. Look at the observance of others watching. We have clearly seen how the Lord has been with you. We think there should be an oath between two parties, between us and you. Let us make a covenant with you. You will not harm us. See what happens when you're scared? You will not harm us, just as we have not harmed you. But have only done what was good to you, sending you away in peace. You are now blessed by the Lord. So he prepared a banquet for them, and they ate and drank. They got up early in the morning and swore an oath to each other. Then Isaac sent them on their way, and they left him in peace. On that same day, Isaac's slaves came to tell him about the well they had dug, saying to him, we have found water. He called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba on this day. When Esau was 40 years old, he took as his wives Judith, daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Basemath, daughter of Elon the Hittite. They made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. I have read for you this morning, that's the last one we'll read this morning. I read for you this morning Genesis chapter 18 through Genesis 27. Yes, Genesis chapter 18 through Genesis 27. May the Lord have a blessing to the readers, the hearers, and more so the doers of his word for the edification of our souls. If you have any prayer requests, you can type them in. It's time to go to God in prayer. Merciful Father, in the sweet name of Jesus, Father God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God, it's you we give honor and praise today, thanking you the very best that we know how. Thanking you for the rain and for the pain, thanking you for all the good times, thanking you for the time that you have set up for us as challenges, which help to build our character. Help us on our daily walk. Father, we love you. We adore you on this day. And we're asking you, Father, to continue to be with us and strengthen us in times of trouble. Father, we're thanking you for molding our week and helping us with the protein of the word to continue to build our strong spiritual muscles to be able to fight the good fight of faith. Lord God, we love you. We adore you. And we come to you this morning as humble servants before a sovereign God, asking for you to grant our requests. Father, we're asking a special prayer on Sister Brenda Gilbert, who's recovering from some sickness. Ask you to strengthen her and bless her in ways she stands in need of, not just her. Still praying for Sister Deborah Penn, I mean for Brenda Penn. I should be with her, strengthen her in ways she stands in need of. Praying for Mom Lugo this morning, Mom Andrea Lugo, who has two fractured thumbs, Father. I ask you to be with her, strengthen her in ways she stands in need of. Be with her during the healing process. Continue to be with her and Pop as they continue in their waning years. Father, I ask you to continue to be with everyone that was on today, that is on today, and everyone that will have the opportunity under the sound of my voice to hear and view this video. We're thanking you for the technology to be possible so that people, even at their leisure, can still hear your word. Coming to you this morning in regards to Sister Almeda Murphy, ask you to bless her life and strengthen her. As a great troubadour soldier there at the Monroe Street Congregation, ask you to strengthen her. Praying for Robbie Bonwell this morning and Rose Janice Southwick. Ask you to be with them and bless them in ways you know they readily stand in need of. Praying a special prayer for Catherine Gaines Cooper and Steve Carter this morning. Ask you to bless them, keep them, and bless them in ways that you know they readily stand in need of. Praying for my cousin Rosalind Thomas Green and Peggy Busby White. Brother Ernest Lemon, be with them and strengthen them in ways they stand in need of. Always praying for Ernest, his wife, Concentra, Mom Peggy, ask you to be with her, be with his daughters as well, Father, be with the family. Be with those Ernest come in contact with at the workout facility. But we know that as he pushes up, he's pushing out. As he reaches up, he's reaching out. Father, we ask you just to be with the man of God, allow him to continue to share love and to share truth to those he comes in contact with that are willing to listen. Be with him in his workout, Father, that will continue to build his physical temple. And as we all must take care of our temple and be able to be stronger as soldiers for thee. That we're so thankful for. Praying for my mother, as she be with her and strengthen her where she stands in need of. Father, thanking you for the new renewed joy that she has, for the business that she has going on. It's prospering. And so we're just so thankful, Father, for the little things. And thankful for sparing her and allowing her to continue to be strengthened and to have some downtime mentally, not to be as stressed out over many idiosyncrasies and caveats of life. Life happens. But in the end, your will be done. And so, Father, we're praying that you will continue to, they're waiting on the day that she becomes director and gets a chance to move forward in that, and we're thankful to be able to be a part of helping that as well. Praying for her health, that her health will be strong enough and get a chance to be able to be with us on Sunday. Praying for Melvin Dean. Good to see you, Melvin. The entire Dean family, we're still praying for that family, the loss of their